Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, good evening, everybody. I am Willie Colby, your tour guide this evening on the weird crap that goes through my head on most normal days. Tonight, I kind of just want to throw out the roundup calls tonight. It's going on right now. So if anybody's online watching or whatever, if you're part of the Long X stuff, you can hop on the phone call tonight. Also, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. is the men's Bible study. It's also a Long X Ranch Bible study. It's a really good program, you guys. If you're part of Long X, it's something that's good to get into. They're kind of a little more scripted and a little more by the book on what they're doing for all their Bible study stuff. I know the Bible study that I'm kind of part of right now. We say one or two things about the book we're reading, and then it just goes off on a tangent. But this is a lot more structured than what I do. That one, that's my own personal Bible study. But anyways, let's go ahead and have our little prayer here. All right, everybody, thank you for coming. Lord, just give me the strength and the words and the courage to speak your words tonight. Just watch over everybody here in this room tonight, and just hopefully this kind of touches on something that they can use in their life moving forward. Thank you for putting Emily and Trent together, and good for them on their new engagement. Hope them the best with everything that they're going to do in the future. Just keep an eye out for everybody down there in Texas. Bad fight, just two times. And we were married for, I don't know, something about 8 years or so. And we always talked. Everything was always good. You never screamed and yelled at each other. And it was, you just went to bed. And you know, I never had to sleep on the couch when I was married to her. It was something that you take for granted these days when you're having struggles with a current relationship or whatever. But that was one of those things that just, we always went to bed, we always hashed out our differences before bed, and it was good. My second marriage, on the other hand, that one was a different story. Like, her and I, we grew up together, ran into each other at the Douglas County Parade, and just hit it off right off the bat. It was kind of one of those like love at first sight things. I mean, it was just fairy tale marriage. Like, everything was really good for quite a while. And the reason why I think it was really good was because her and I would, it was like we were each other's poison. We were always just kind of bickering with each other, and we weren't never really happy with each other. But not being happy made us happy, if that makes any sense. It did to me for 13 years, but whatever. Yeah, so I slept on the couch more times then than I do now. And heck, I've been living on my own for about 3 years now, and if I fall asleep on the couch, it's because I want to. But man, back when I was married, I slept on the couch all the time. It was just, we went to bed angry. Got up the next morning, and I had all that frustration and resentment built up, and it killed my day. When I got home, I just knew exactly where I was going to finish off at with the day. Sometimes we kissed and made up right away, but a lot of the times, we carried through because we never really went to bed with all of our stuff just clear. A lot of it's our reactions. With her, I know that if I was sharp-tongued and what have you with her, it was something that was good for us. If the more I fought, the better our relationship was. But when I stopped fighting so hard and I stopped being so mean, that's when everything started going downhill, because I was nice. I was taking the blame for everything. If it was my fault or not, I took the blame. It was just easier to get along than it was to fight. So my reactions with that, I mean, I did everything I could to just go to bed happy, you know. Whether I slept on the couch or not, I did what I could to just make things right. Go to bed, call it a day, wake up the next morning. I'd force myself to be happy the next day. And that's that reaction. Every time we'd start, it was, man, I had to just come back just quick and hard and fast, and it was what made us tick. I'm gonna hop over and go into a little more into Ephesians here, if I can flip my Bible the right way. So I'm going to go from, we just kind of talked about 26 and 27. I'm going to go from 28 to 32 now. Oh, if I can read. All right, so 28 starts off, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands and for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all the types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So I read all my stuff out of a study Bible, and it kind of goes into this. It says, Paul warns us against unwholesome language, bitterness, improper use of anger, harsh words, slander, the bad attitudes towards others. Instead of acting the way we should, be forgiving, just as God has forgiven us. So this is something, as I was writing this out, it kind of struck me funny. So going back to my first marriage, like it was a textbook good marriage. We ended on some weird terms that it is what it is. But I actually was able to go up to the cause of my divorce and shake his hand and thank him and tell him that I forgave him. Now, if you want to see a weird look, forgive somebody who was the sole reason for breaking up your marriage. I shook this guy's hand, told him thank you, and I forgave him, and just his jaw hit the ground, like, why are you thanking me? Well, I look back at it now, and I'm like, thank you for taking that away from me and making it your problem, because in the end, it was never going to get any better. Like, she had her ways, and that's just how it was, and he took that from me, and I had to thank him for it. I had to forgive him for what he did, but thank him at the same time. I dearly would have loved to just, and at that time I was a fighter, I dearly would have loved to just throttle this dude, but I didn't. I knew I had to go a different direction from that, but it's just giving him the thanks and the forgiveness. I didn't overreact. I didn't yell and scream at him. I didn't fight him. I didn't do anything like that. It was just being calm, cool, and collective. That's kind of how we have to go through everything. Is not overreacting, not yelling and screaming, not using harsh words, not fighting somebody. For me, I know we got a young audience here, but my boy's sitting back here with us. How about just the dumb little stuff? I mean, you know, like for dads, I know all you kids, like your dads are always like, quit messing with the thermostat, shut off the lights. You guys, you got to do this and you got to do that. For me, like doing it with the kids growing up, like they didn't understand. They didn't overreact. They'd roll their eyes at you or whatever, but that's a reaction. Is that something that you really needed to do to that situation? Or could you just been like, yeah, okay, dad, went over and shut the light off, or not mess with the thermostat, or, you know, put your shoes, or take your shoes off when you walk in the door. A lot of that stuff is as kids, is just them overreacting to something that's so, just so minuscule, it wasn't even worth it. I know before Jake moved in with me, him and I used to kind of butt heads a lot. And I tried to just sit down and just talk to him as level-headed as possible. And he would overreact and he would try and take it up a notch. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. That's just how he thought he needed to get out his frustration, was just yell, just be super mad at dad or super mad at the situation. He'd kind of got himself in some trouble. And one night I tried to take his phone from him. Well, the arrangement that we had with the ex and I, like, that was their phone. Like, I had no say so in their phone, so I couldn't take their phone. So I was upset. I tried to take his phone from him, and like, I don't know, he's kind of a bigger kid, he's kind of stocky, he kind of reached back, and I was like, oh, here we go, I'm gonna have to box my kid. So I ended up just grabbing a hold of his hands, just held him down tight, and he just lost his mind. And so I reacted, I lost my mind back at him. But it's all because of something that we're so used to. Like, I've been told that this is how it is, this is how it is, and then now you're taking this from me. So my only way I can come back at you. He was just overreacting. So that's what he did. He didn't know really any better. He did, but he didn't. It's just little things like that. When the younger generation, when your parents were trying to discipline you guys growing up or whatever, did you overreact? Sure you did. We all did. My son, Zach, sitting back there, he overreacts. But he's finally gotten to the point where he realizes that it's easier to go with the flow than it is to react in a way that you can't take back. And he's probably one of the most mellow kids that I've ever been around. And it's not something that I've raised him to be. That's just how he is. But he has like this little rage. And if you get Zach in his little rage, it is just, it's not good. He's an evil little boy. But so to keep kind of going on with some of the scripture parts of it and how we're supposed to react and everything like that, it's all the sins and stuff like that we're reacting to. Part of the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us." So when you look at this part of it, it's actually talking about like sins, like biblical sins. You're going against the rules. You're going against just anything that's biblical that we know is not right if you go against it. So if you look at it that way, you can actually just read it as, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." It's the same thing. It just takes that trespasses out and just inputs sin in there. So you really got to think that sin part of it. If we already forgive them, for me, I have to forgive right away. If I sit here and something happens and I stew on that and I don't forgive them right away, all it does is just, it opens the door for me to sin more towards somebody else. You know, I didn't forgive them. I didn't let everything go right away. I built it up, and now instead of talking to Zach and hashing out my stuff with Zach, now I'm frustrated at his girlfriend for whatever reason. It has nothing to do with her. You know what I'm saying? So you have to forgive right away. If you hold on to that, it just builds up and it just makes stuff worse for you. What about when we look at this stuff? What do you have in your life right now that you haven't forgiven? Like, what are you holding back? I know for me, there's a lot of stuff with things that I've dealt with for the past 3 years, just trying to find out who I am and who I want to be. I started this journey and it's been great, but there's so much that I've still held back from just previous relationships, trying to move forward in relationships, just anything like that, that I've never really forgiven myself or my ex-wives to allow me to move on. My reactions to all this stuff is I don't have the ability to move on because I haven't let go. I haven't forgiven. And when anything comes my way, my first thing I do is I overreact. You know, if I try and talk to somebody in a relationship, try to start a relationship or something like that, and it doesn't go my way, the first thing I do is I overreact. Like, what did I do? I overthink. You know, it's how I react to it instead of actually just kind of just letting it go and just going, "Hey, this isn't my time. I haven't had my time for 3 years. Lord knows I've been trying, but it's something that I have to work on." And I think that's why I haven't had the ability to actually move on yet, is because I overreact to being shut down. And it goes through work. It goes through my personal life with the kids, what have you. Here recently, I've been talking to a buddy of mine, and I try to explain to him that I've been working so hard at getting rid of, I don't know, I can't, without saying the direct word, but you know, I've always been mean and hateful for so long. That was just how I was raised. Like my dad, that was just, well, that's how we grew up. But I've been trying so hard to turn from that. And when I'm at work, I get paid to be the mean person. That's what I'm there for. I'm supposed to babysit a bunch of 20-year-old people. Like, how are you not supposed to get mad? We do the same job day in and day out, every single day. Nothing changes, but it's like herding cats all day long. And you get mad. It's frustrating. And with that, I act different at work than I do when I'm away from work. The guys at work, they give me grief about, you know, they knew I was going to be up here today, and they're like, "Are you sure?" Like, "No, I'm writing my sermon in the pickup right now." And they've seen I had the Bible sitting on the center console. They've seen my notes and stuff like that, and they're like, "Man, you're really writing a sermon." I said, "Yeah, write it about you guys." "Well, what do you mean?" So my buddy Eli, I call everybody I work with my buddy, but my buddy Eli, he got to witness me overreacting. And in our industry, I'm in the explosives industry. I play with all the nasty explosives day in and day out. That's just, I love it. We had a situation arise at work, and I just lost it. And I have the safest career you can ever be in. There's so many regulations. There's so many SOPs set in place on how to handle explosives and everything like that, that you, if you hurt yourself, it's something that you did that you knew you shouldn't have been doing. My overreaction was that I took a cap and I chucked it across the pattern, and it hit right in front of his feet, and he just looked at me and his jaw hit the ground. Now, it's an explosive. You're not supposed to throw those, especially hard. So when I chucked this explosive across the pattern, like, he freaked out. I had to walk away. I overreacted to a situation. I lost my cool, and I had to go walk away. I walked away, and I just stood staring off of a 60-foot high wall and just took it all in, just had to relax because I overreacted. That's not who I want to be. In the Bible, we can go into Proverbs. I mean, Proverbs is probably the best, if not, well, it's probably the best, because it's a step-by-step instruction manual on how to live your life through Christ. Proverbs 1:5. How about the last part of that when it says, we're going to read it real quick, and then we're going to touch on the last part of it. Sorry, I had that on my note, and I forgot to write the actual verse. "Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance." That's Proverbs 1:5. So with this, it kind of goes into, it's like the common sense, the biblical common sense stuff. It's right here. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. So when you look at it in all the outside of the biblical sense of it, it's just your day-to-day instructions to life. You don't have to look at it as Proverbs 1:5. You can look at it as you're just supposed to live this way. And it's just clearly outlined before us. Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare." Your harsh words, that it creates everything. It's just a domino effect. The harsher words you use and the more you use them, it just keeps getting worse. But if you have the ability to just calm down and relax and just talk level-headed, it's amazing how you can change your reactions before you even react. If you know that you're gonna get yourself in a situation where you're gonna overreact, take a deep breath, calm down, use nice words. Use, you know, I like to talk to my kid like he's 5 still, and it helps without using the harsh words. You get to kind of dummy it down a little bit, and you kind of come at him in a different sense, and it makes it easier to talk to him. So I know that Zach's not gonna overreact, or I know that Jake's not gonna overreact, because I'm not yelling at him. I'm talking down to them, but it kind of in a jokingly manner that they understand that, okay, I did wrong. My dad is mad, but he's not screaming at me. He's not dropping the F-bomb. He's not going that whole route. Like, just take a deep breath and relax. Don't use those really harsh words when it comes time to react. I kind of looking into the Proverbs part of everything, I kind of wanted to dig into it a little bit. It is kind of the encyclopedia of your life, how to live your life. And I kind of thought that was cool, kind of seeing it written that way. King Solomon wrote most of Proverbs, and there's other authors in there, but Solomon was like, he was like the main author of all of it. And it's for me, it's the easiest part of the Bible to read. Everything is kind of written in like a poem fashion. It's not really so much of a story outline as it is a poem. So it's super easy to follow, and it's all there it flows. It flows really good about how everything is supposed to be. Sorry, I'm losing track of my notes here. Ah, yes, this one. Okay, so I laugh at this now. I like this part. It's Proverbs 20, 22. Don't say I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle it in his manner. So for me, that's that karma thing. Like, you're always like, oh, I'll just get him back later on. I'll get him back later on. Well, we're not supposed to do that. That's the Lord's going to handle that for you. And you know, my sister, she's one of those ones like, oh, karma will catch you. Karma will catch you. You know, karma's coming for you. But it's not really karma in a sense. It's literally, it's the Lord handling the situation for you. Instead of you going out there and making things worse and everything else, if you just let it go, don't try and get even with them. Just let the Lord take care of it. The Lord will actually go through and give that proverbial karma to them. And that's just, you know, that's some of the fun stuff with it is going, yeah, I can step back and I can let this go. And Lord's got it from here. He's going to take care of everything for me, and I don't have to overreact. I don't have to get mine, you know. It's just going to come back eventually, and somebody else is going to take it for us, and it's the man upstairs. Jesus is going to take care of all of our reactions for us, all of our negative reactions to the things that we've been dealing with. Jeremiah, we can go into 8:4. For me, I'm just going to kind of chat this or just randomly read this out, and then I'll kind of touch base on it, how it affects me. So it says, Jeremiah 8:4 says, when people fall down, don't they get up again? When they discover they're on the wrong road, don't they turn back? When we start overreacting to things, we're going down that wrong road. And we have to be able to turn back and go right back into, come back to the Bible, come back to Proverbs, figure out what you're supposed to do. There's nothing that's being given to you that's not already been dealt with before. Somebody's already fought your battle. It's all right here. It's all in Scripture. If you have problems with your girlfriend, your wife, your buddy, whatever, your answers are in here. Turn back to the Bible, turn back to the Lord, and He will guide you. And that's something that I've fought against. You know, it's that in His time, you know, in His will, in His plan, He will take care of you. But how are you fighting it? Are you just letting it go and letting it come back? I overreact. I overthink. And with all of that, I really struggle with turning back and just letting go. If we have that ability, if we fall down, do we have the ability to just let it go, get back up again, and keep moving on? That's what it talks about. I mean, that's what it wants you to do, is you're going to turn back eventually, but the sooner you can let it go, the sooner you can forgive, the sooner you can quit overreacting, the easier it is to turn back. The easier it is to go right back into Scripture and go down the road that you're supposed to be traveling on, not the one that takes you into overreacting and into sins and all that stuff. How about your reactions? So for me, I've fallen more often in the past 3 years on this journey than I ever thought I was going to. I was on fire in the beginning. It was like, man, I've got to read Scripture. I've got to live by the Bible. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And then you fall off. Well, then you turn back and then you fall off and you turn back. And once Kevin gave me the ability to come up here and stand in front of you guys, I fell off more. And I overreacted one day and I text Kevin and I was like, hey, I can't do this anymore. Like I'd only been kind of stepping into a bigger part of Save the Cowboy. I think it was back in October is when I really took a bigger approach at it. And literally it was only just a couple weeks into it, I was done. Like I was overreacting. I just, so much weight had been put on my shoulders just as soon as I tried to take on that responsibility. I just told him I couldn't do it anymore. I overreacted. Instead of just relaxing, letting stuff go, it wasn't so much of a forgiveness thing. I didn't have anybody to forgive. It was just everything that I took on myself. I overreacted. And the first thing I could think of was text Kevin and tell him I was done. I just wanted to go back to running the camera. I wanted to go back to just sitting in the chair and watching Kevin preach. And he's got that way about him that he can talk to me that a way that not many people can. And he basically told me to just put on my big boy pants and just get back after it. And if you're not going to do it, then what's the point? And at the end of that, it was, I apologized. I had to forgive myself for being an idiot and thinking that this was too much. It's not too much. It's just, I took on too, so much at one time. I didn't know how to react in the positive way. I've got an actual another sermon that I wrote that was the leading cause of me just going to turn away from everything. And that one hurt. Like when I wrote that sermon, that hurt. I've got a couple of great roommates, my son, and like nobody really knew I wrote that. But I sat down on the kitchen table and I wrote it in tears. Like it just bothered me so much with everything that I had going on in my life. I overreacted. Just trying to just make it such a heartfelt message for everybody that I broke down. I overreacted to everything that I was writing. It's actually titled Good Enough. And one of these days I'll have enough sense to actually to give it. But you know, it's, I looked at myself and I always thought I wasn't enough. With marriages, with friendships, relationships, work, stuff with the family. I was never enough. But I was overreacting. Like I'm still going to give that sermon because it does mean so much to me, but I overreacted writing it. I overreacted after I wrote it. I overreacted after I'd read it 20 times and edited it and everything. It just, I overreacted for no reason. Like, yes, this stuff bothers us so much when we're up here and we're writing these sermons and stuff like that. But if we don't react in a positive way, then what's it all for? Like, that sermon that I wrote changed my life moving forward because I knew that I was good enough. Yes, at that time I overreacted because I didn't think I was good enough. That was what the whole sermon was about, was not being good enough. But I overreacted. At the end of that sermon, I was able to summarize it and make it all nice and roses, and because I found out that I was good enough. It didn't matter that I was good enough for Zach or good enough for anybody in here, but I was good enough for Jesus, and that's what mattered to me. So overreacting is something as simple as I was writing a sermon that nobody read. It's just, it's in my notes. It's in a book at the house. Like, I overreacted to my own thing that I caused on my own self, I overreacted to. And it's something that I know that a lot of people battle with in themselves is how we treat ourselves. Do we overreact to stupid stuff that we do to ourselves? Like I said, I overthink and it's bad, but it's an overreaction more so than an overthinking. I'm overreacting to something as simple as blowing out a shoelace on my work boot last week. Like, oh, I was so mad, tried to tie my boots and then I popped the shoelace. Like that's, if you don't have your work uniform like in ship tip-top shape, even blue collar into mine, like if your uniform is not perfect, you get sent home. And I blew out my shoelace in my boot and I'm like, oh, no. Well, I have a pair of muck boots in my truck, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But at that time, like it was like life-ending reaction. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to send myself home because I blew out the shoelace on my boot. I overreacted. I had my muck boots in the back of the truck, threw them on, no big deal. Got a new set of shoelaces, but that's that. It's the little overreactions that can really just destroy your day. It can destroy your relationships. It can destroy your family. Just all the way that we handle ourselves with our reactions. There's some other stuff in Proverbs I kind of skipped over. I'm gonna see if I can get myself back together and get the correct notes. But I really don't think I can because I went too far. Whoopsie. I want to kind of go back to the stuff that I dealt with my first wife and my second wife. Like I said, my first wife, we didn't fight. Like, I don't know how we didn't. That was, you know, raising three kids at a super young age. Like we were 18, 19, 20, something like that when she had her first kid, and then Jake and Zach followed not too long thereafter. Like life was good. There was no reacting. Like I was just a little heathen. And life was great, but there was no reason to overreact. There, everything was good until the very end. And even then, I had to suck it up, not overreact, forgive, shake his hand, thank him for everything. But that second marriage, like, you can ask Zach, that was a dumpster fire. But it was probably the best parts of my life was that marriage. I learned how to overreact in a good way in the end. What I mean by that is when everything went south, I was able to settle down and just react in positive ways towards her. And she didn't know how to take it. I wasn't overreacting. I wasn't causing that drama. I wasn't being the mean, hateful person that I used to be. I just relaxed. And I tried to come at her level-headed, and it wasn't what she wanted. You know, we didn't have that huge boiling point. You know, and if it was, I just avoided it. I went downstairs and just crawled on the couch and took a nap. Just avoided. I didn't want to overreact anymore, because I knew it wasn't going to get me anywhere. It wasn't going to get us anywhere. I don't know. Zach's dealt with a lot of my overreactions growing up, and he can tell you that I'm not the same person that I used to be. And it's a good thing. Like, he doesn't see his dad angry anymore. Like, his dad's pretty happy nowadays, even though life's not all that good for us. But, you know, I'm gone 16 hours out of the day, and him and I see each other for about a half an hour out at night. But, like, it's some of the best half-hour quality time I've ever had with anybody is when I get home and I can sit there and just talk with Zach. There's no more, it's reacting in a positive way. Whenever he has something that he comes to me with, I can give him that positive reinforcement that he wants and not the overreaction that he's used to getting from dad. And that's something that I think a lot of us can really build off of is quit overreacting. Just go through life level-headed. You know, if you have to, go through Proverbs and just pick a chapter. It's crazy how you can just pick a part out of Proverbs and just read through it, and you can figure out how you can use that in your day-to-day life. There's a lot of stuff in Proverbs that I personally don't agree with, but it's not for me to agree or disagree with. I mean, that's how we're supposed to live our lives. This stuff for me has really changed my life on just being a better person, because I don't have that short fuse and that short temper anymore. I don't overreact like I used to. I don't know. I mean, just look into Proverbs, look into some of the stuff with Ephesians. When we go, you know, when we looked at 4:26, 27, I just want to reiterate that one. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. That's huge. I've found that out here a lot lately, is if something's bothering me at work or whatever, I have to leave it at work. You know, that's not really letting it go down, or the sun go down on my anger, but I leave it at work. In essence, that's the, you know, it's going down, but it's going down at work. The sun's going down at work. I'm leaving it there. I don't bring it home. I don't let Zach, and I don't let Maddie, and, you know, I don't go off anybody at home because of something that happened at work. I leave that there. And if something happens at home, I got to make sure it's right before I go to bed, because it's no way to start the morning as frustrated and angry. I don't know. That's kind of what I got for you guys tonight. I'm still a work in progress. You know, here, that's the beauty of this evening service, is you get the raw emotion to everybody that's up here, and we're all kind of new and beginners at this. And that's really what I got for you guys tonight. I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. Thank you guys for coming out. But dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me the strength to just come up here and just blabber my way through your word. Thank you for just giving me the ability to open up the Bible and just read through there and just find out how to change my life in a positive way for my kids, for myself, and for those around me. Thank you for giving me this ability to come up here and just preach through you. Please, just like I said earlier, just keep a watchful eye over Trent and Emily and guide them in their new life together. We can't thank you enough for bringing those two together here at church. It's definitely your works. just give each and every one of these folks here tonight and online the ability to go through their days not overreacting, just reacting in a positive outlook and just being there for one another in a good, positive way. Don't let them go to bed angry. Make sure they hash out their differences before they go to bed. It's these things I ask in your name. Amen.